The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Grossman, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. For more information about the center, or for halachic services and resources, please call 1-888-485-VAAD or visit thehalachacenter.org.
Shavuos, Daf Lamed Zayin. Our previous lecture for Daf Lamed Vav mentioned a widespread custom among Jews to avoid taking shavuos, oaths, even absolutely true oaths. Jews would settle, would do whatever they could to avoid taking oaths, even if those oaths were completely true. The most famous endorser of this minhag is the Chasam Sofer, who argues, provides various sources justifying it. We mentioned Rabbi Yo Kalaskin and the Mrei Shefer agrees it's generally a good idea to avoid taking oaths. He doesn't think, though, that it's quite as imperative to avoid them as the Chasam Sofer does. He therefore makes the point of saying that one should only do that at one's own expense. When a debtor, however, who can't afford to pay his debts and has the opportunity to gain some funds if he takes a shvua and wants to be pious and avoid the shvua, is doing wrong. He shouldn't be doing this at the expense of his creditors. The truth is that there's actually extensive discussion of this basic question in the 19th century achronim, cases of partners. Is it appropriate to avoid taking a shvua, even if this will be at the expense of one's partner? There are actually two parts to this question. L'chatchila, is it appropriate? B'di'eved, if you refuse a shvua and you thereby cause harm to your partner, are you chayev? B'di'eved, are you a mazik? So we find basically three or four schools of thought on this question, which we will now discuss. The first school is the Maria Halevi, Rabbi Yitzchak Aaron Ittinger Halevi, and the Maria Zenzel, Rabbi Kusiel Asher Zalman Enzel. They argue that a shutuf actually absolutely has no business refusing a shvua if this will harm the partnership, if this will harm his partner, and if he refuses the shvua, he's chay of medina de garmi, he's considered a mazik, even though it's only grama, it's considered dina de garmi, the sort of grama for which you're chayev. He has to make his partner whole, pay for whatever loss he's caused him by his inaction, by his refusal to take the shvua. They bring an interesting proof to this. There's a halacha that if a creditor, a malve, sells a debt, sells it to a buyer, the lokech wants to collect it, but the lova says, I paid the seller, I paid the original creditor. Now, normally the halacha is, if a lova says he has paid the malve holds a shtar, so the lova is going to have to pay, but the lova has the right to say, before I pay, I demand that you take a shvua that the debt has not yet been paid. So here, the lova tells the mocher, the original malve, that he has to take a shvua. If the mocher takes the shvua, then the lokeach, the current holder of the note, will be able to collect it. If the mocher refuses the shvua, then the lokeach is out of luck, because the lokeach can't swear. He doesn't know whether the malva was paid or not. So if the mocher doesn't swear, the lokeach is in trouble. The halacha is, if indeed the mocher refuses the shvua, he's chayev to pay the lokeach, and the Maria Halevi and the Maria Zenzel explain, the chiyah is medina de garmi. The mocher is considered to have injured the lokeach by refusing the shvua. It's as though he were mochel the chov. It's as though he damaged the chov. He's chayev medina de garmi. And therefore they say the same thing applies here. Even though it's b'shev v'al tase, refusing a shvua is considered to be a mazik, to be causing an injury to the debt that now can't be collected. Therefore the shutef who refuses the shvua is considered to have been mazik the moment of the shutfist, to have been mazik is shutuf, and he's therefore chayef to be mishalem, chayef to pay for what he has done or for what by his inaction he has caused to happen. Second school of thought is the Heshev Moshe, the Beis Shlomo, the David Mesharim. They argue that even though the shutuf really does have a responsibility to a shutuf to swear, nevertheless, b'di'evit at least, he is not going to be chayef. He's a mazik, but it's only grama. Grama b'nizak and pater. Whereas the first school argued it with Dina de Garmi, and they brought a proof from the case of the creditor who sold the debt and refused to swear, they bring a different argument. They bring a proof that this is pater, this is only grama, from the din of kovish edus. The halacha is that if two witnesses who could have testified on behalf of Reuven and Dintara declined to do so, Reuven therefore lost the case, and now it's too late. Nothing you can do about it. And Reuven can establish that that's what they've done. So they are chayav b'dinei shemayim. They have a moral obligation. A pater b'dinei adam. B'dinei adam, it's only considered grama. By their inaction, they've caused harm to come to him. That's only grama. Grom Bnei Zaken Pater. Therefore, the Heshem Moshe and these other posts can explain that the Shutev who refuses to swear is only a Grama because it was B'Shev Val Tase, because he wasn't Mechavein to harm his friend, it wasn't malicious, it was simply Mechavein for his own Toelas to avoid swearing. Because of these or other Svaras, he's only a Grama, and therefore he is Pater. Now, the Heshem Moshe actually develops at some length a subtle distinction, which he actually is emphatic about its correctness. He says, it actually depends what happens. If the court, when the Shutev refuses to swear, if the court says, okay, you're not swearing, fine, so we will now seize money of the Shutev, or seize money of the other Shutev, to pay the outstanding obligation because you're not swearing to defend your claim. Then, this Shutev, by his inaction, has caused harm to befall his other Shutev, but it's only a Grama, Grom Bnei Zaken Pater, and he's Pater. If, however, the reverse happened, instead of he does nothing and the court goes to the other guy, he himself offers the court money from the Shutfus or from his other Shutfus' assets to avoid taking the Shvua, or if he lays out the money on his own and then he turns to the other Shutfus and said, look, I spent a lot of money out of my own pocket to avoid the Shvua, please defray part of that cost, please pay your half. Then he says, the other Shutfus can say, absolutely not. You chose not to swear. Who asked you to do that? That was the wrong thing to do. If you want to do it at your own expense. Pay your own money. I have no business. You have no business asking me for the money. So if the Shutev does nothing, he doesn't start up with the other Shutev at all. He just refuses to pay and walk. He refuses to swear and walks away. And the basin then goes, the court goes and takes money from the other Shutev, from the Shutfus. Then he can say, look, all I did was not swear. They took money from you. What does that have to do with me? I was garim at Grom Bnei Zaken is Pater. But if he actually took money from the other Shutev, or if he spent his own money and now is asking the other Shutev to pay him, the shoe's on the other foot, then the other Shutev can tell him, nothing doing. You have no right to avoid a Shvua and then charge me for it. You want to do it at your own expense. Don't charge me. So it depends whether he actually is trying to take money from the other Shutev, that he can't do, or whether he did nothing at all and the basin took money from the other Shutev, and now the other Shutev is coming to him, then he'll be Pater because Grom Bnei Zaken is Pater. The third opinion is the Sholem Eshev and the Rav Pal, the author of the Ben Ishchai, Rav Yosef Chaim of Baghdad. Whereas the first two groups of Shitas, the Maria Halevi, the Maria Zendel, the Heshev Moshe, the Beis Shlomo, the Dov Meisharim, all basically agreed that the Shutev does have some kind of responsibility to swear to avoid a loss befalling his Shutev. These poskim, the Sholem Eshev and the Rav Palim, say no. That's not correct. That's actually not true. They say a shutev has no responsibility to swear. Adaita dehachinachti. When they entered into the shutfus, they entered into it under the assumption that they would act as normal erlich people do. Jews normally do not take such shvuos. Therefore, each shutev accepts that the other shutev may not swear and that he'll bear his fair share of any cost associated with that. Therefore, as the Rav Palim explains, not just as the Heshev Moshe says that if he doesn't swear and Basin takes money from the other Shutev, he won't have to pay the other Shutev. Even the other case, even the case that the Heshev Moshe insists to be Chayev, if he actually spends money out of his own pocket and then tries to collect it from the other Shutev, or if he actually took the other Shutev's money, which the Heshev Moshe says, that will be Matzlas and Mamon Chavero, and the other Shutev could say, you can't do that, you can't make me pay for it. Says the Sholem Eshev of the Rav Palim, yes, you can. When they entered the Shutfus, they entered it al das, that they would behave as normal people did in typical fashion. Therefore, avoiding a shvua, even paying money to avoid a shvua, is considered normal, customary behavior. And therefore, one shutev actually has the right to expect the other shutev to indemnify him and to defray part of the cost associated with avoiding the shvua. The Rav Pala makes a comparison to a case he talks about elsewhere. A woman is married to a rich man. The custom in their culture is to give charity. Men of that level of wealth, of those resources, would give charity according to a certain standard. This man is very stingy. He doesn't want to. The woman has the right to say, you have to let me give tzedakah. Socially, this is what we have to do. Because even though normally a woman might not have the right to force her husband to give tzedakah, but here, she can say, I married you, al das kein. I married you that we're going to have a lifestyle. We're going to live according to the standard of people in our economic bracket. And therefore, we married al das kein, and you have an implicit chiyuv to spend money, to allow me to spend money, according to that standard. There's also a marsham. Marsham talks about a case in Shutfus, nothing to do with Shavuos, but Marsham talks about a case in Shutfus where one shutuf spent money to get a bracha from a tzaddik so that their business endeavor should be successful. He then wanted to bill part of the cost involved with getting that bracha to the other shutuf. Other shutuf said, not interested. I'm not interested in this bracha. So Marsham actually says, he doesn't get to the question at all of whether the bracha actually is effective or not. He just looks at it as a question of custom. If the custom would be standard and universal, he seems to imply that everyone goes to the tzaddik for a bracha, then the shutuf would have the right to say that I'll ask Cain, this is the standard practice and you have to contribute your fair share. Since it is not so universal, he says, and the Marsham adds pointedly, particularly if the other shutuf is a misnagit to this particular tzaddik, tzaddikim in general, this particular tzaddik, the idea of getting brachas, whatever it is, he says, it's not a standard practice, so you have no right to expect him to defray the cost. But he agrees that if this is standard behavior, he seems to imply, then he could expect the other shutuf to defray the cost. So here too, the Shalom Eshev and the Rav Palam are arguing, avoiding shvuos, even if that means expending money to do that, is normal, a standard behavior, and therefore a shutuf who spends money, his own money or the shutuf's money, to avoid a shvuah has the right to expect the other shutuf to bear part of that cost. Fourth shita, perhaps, is the Shari Deah. Shari Deah begins by adopting a position similar to that of Shalom Eshem and the Rav Pa'alam. He says it doesn't make sense that a shutuf has the right to expect the other shutuf to bear all the cost by himself of avoiding the shvuah. Why would that be? A shutuf should be able to act reasonably and not take a shvuah. However, he says, a shutuf, at least l'chatchila, really should take the shvuah, even if the laws of shutfus wouldn't really obligate him to do so, because the laws of shutfus would allow him to behave as normal people do. Nevertheless, he says, the idea of Hashavas Aveda would require him to take the shvuah. Hashavas Aveda means I have to do whatever I can to help another Jew avoid a loss. So here, by taking a shvuah, I can enable my partner to avoid a loss. So I should have to do that. And even though he says we have certain exemptions from Hashavas Aveda, if it comes at a cost to you, even at a cost to your dignity, Zaken Vein Elfi Chvodo, if it would be undignified for you to return the Aveda, your potter, but there's a Midas Chasidus, you should really do it anyway. You shouldn't take advantage of that Hetzer. And on the other hand, he says, the idea of avoiding a Shvuah is not an absolute Isser, not Mikra Din he holds. It's also a Midas Chasidus. So Adarabah, the Midas Chasidus of the Mekayim Hashavas Aveda, even when there's some cost to you, should outweigh the squeamishness you have about the Shvuah, which is also Midas Chasidus. And therefore he says, L'chatchila, if this question comes to Beis Din really should tell the Shutuf, even if the laws of shutfus might allow you to decline the shvuah, the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda really tells you that the right thing to do is to take the shvuah. But the Avodah says if he didn't take the shvuah, then the din is not so clear and he's not exactly sure how he would paskin. So in summary, we have three or basically four shitas. On the one hand, we have the Maria Halevi and the Maria Zenzel who say that you're absolutely a mazik, you're medina de garmi. If you don't take a shvuah and you cause a hefsid to your partner, you're chayav medina de garmi. On the other hand, we have the Heshem Moshe, the Beis Shlomo, the Dov Meisharim. They argue that even if it's wrong not to take the Shvuah, you're sort of a mazik, but it's only a grama. Grama ben Yizak and his pater, except they say that since you really should be taking the Shvuah, if you spend the money to avoid taking the Shvuah, you have no right, the Heshem Moshe explains, you have no right to expect the other Shutuf to, you can't demand that he then go and defray part of the cost that you had to avoid the Shvuah. Unless Basin took it from him, then he can't be Tavei you. But if you spent the money, you can't ask him for the money. The third shita is the Shalom Eshem and the Rav Pa'alim. They say that no, actually you can ask him to defray the cost of the Shvuah because you have no obligation to take the Shvuah at all. Adaita d'hachinachtu, that the Shutfin expect each other to behave in normal and customary fashion. Avoiding a Shvuah, even at considerable expense, is normal and customary. The fourth shita is the Shari Deah, that beyond all the laws of shutfus, the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda would obligate a shutuf to take a shvuah, even though he doesn't really want to, would obligate him to take a shvuah and to ignore his normal midas chasidus because he has the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda to save another Jew from experiencing economic harm.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.